Hello, and welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans. I'm David Bailey, and over the past nearly 12 years, this podcast has taken on many forms, from interviews and audio diaries to cultural snapshots and expat reflections. You might notice some different podcast names mentioned along the way, but it's all part of the same journey, one that explores life, people, and stories from this fascinating region I now call home. If you're enjoying the listen, I'd love it if you left a quick review or rating wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps others discover the show. And if something in the episode sparks your interest or curiosity, why not drop me a message? I always enjoy hearing from listeners. I always reply.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovich Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans, the podcast that takes you on a captivating journey into the heart of Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. Each episode, we delve into the rich history, vibrant culture, and hidden gems of this beautiful country. Through engaging conversations and personal anecdotes, we aim to bridge the gap between the Balkans and the rest of the world. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired, entertained, and connected.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
Welcome to a replay edition of the podcast, where we're taking a trip down memory lane to 3 years ago, when Tamara and I sat down to discuss a cherished tradition here in Bosnia and Herzegovina, zimnica, or winter food. Zimnica is a centuries-old practice of preserving seasonal fruits and vegetables to enjoy throughout the year. Zimnica is not just about food, though. It's a way of preserving the flavours and memories of what you've grown through the summer to savour during the cold winter months. I hope you enjoy the podcast, and if you do, please consider leaving a review on the podcatcher of your choice and also maybe sharing it with your friends, family, or colleagues. You'll find more information about Zimnica, together with some videos, on our website and our Substack, the links to which are in the show notes. So let's go back in time.
We're talking today about, we were talking a little earlier on about our planned trip.
But we had a technical difficulty.
Yeah, we were talking about our planned trip to Berlin because there's going to be a flight from Banja Luka, hopefully in November. Next month it starts, fingers crossed, COVID allowing, to go to Berlin because my sister lives in Berlin. And if you could only do one thing in Berlin, what would it be?
I would go buy some Gluckwein and watch the remains of the wall.
Some Gluckwein.
Gluckwein.
Gluckwein is happy wine.
Gluckwein.
You mean Glühwein?
Glühwein, the cooked
mulled wine.
Mulled wine, yes. Mulled wine. I would take a cup, like in a coffee cup, and I would go see the remains of the Berlin Wall.
That's because you're a stari Yugoslav. You're an
old communist. Yes, exactly. And
right?
What about you? What would you do in a Berlin?
I would go and have a currywurst, which is a German sausage with a curry sauce, together with German frites. And mayonnaise. And the crazy thing is,
why do they have curry? Curry is more specific for England than for Germany.
Right.
I
won't go through the whole story, but during the occupation of Berlin, which became West Berlin, at the end of the Second World War, a German lady was trading sort of like foodstuffs to the British soldiers in the British sector. And she found out that they were eating sort of like curries and everything because of our Indian heritage from the empire and everything. And she started to make, So she thought, well, the soldiers like to eat German sausage, and they also like curry. So if I put it together and make a curry sauce, and I can call it a curry sausage, Currywurst, and I'll sell it to the British troops. I don't know whether that's a legend or it's a folk tale, but it certainly is that Currywurst is sold everywhere in Germany, and I believe it outsells the normal Bratwurst, fried sausage, and Bockwurst, which is boiled sausage. Yeah, so I would like to have that. Oh yeah, you can. There's sausages that you can only dream of in Germany. So I would do that.
I guess I will join you then.
You can also go to Berlin. We can also go down to the lake in the middle. Stausee, is it? I can't remember anyway. Have a Berliner Weisse, which is German beer with a sort of syrup in it as well.
Yeah, that's good. We had something similar in Graz when we went to Austria.
Yeah.
In the Alien.
Yeah.
Called it a coffee bar in Alien. Yeah. The building, the blue building.
That's right. But we won't talk about Graz because...
Okay, so what are we talking about today?
So today we're talking about food and Zimnitsa. So what does Zimnitsa mean?
Zimnitsa is like a winter food. It's food that is prepared for the winter. You eat it in the winter time because you don't have vegetables in the garden. And you just, preserve them for winter and you eat them in the winter. Because it's the end of season for the garden. For example, you can make wine from the grapes that you have. You can pickle some cucumbers or some squash. Then you can make ajvar from paprika, which is like peppers, bell peppers, which are the bell peppers are ajvar is like a pate made of the peppers, mm-hmm. or yeah, how would you say it?
Yeah, I say a paste.
It's like a
vegetable spread, definitely.
And you can do many other things depending what you have in your garden, like tomato sauce from tomatoes.
Is it only a rural thing? I mean, we live pretty like semi-rural lifestyle. We are in
you can
village.
Pickle cabbage as well.
Oh yeah, but doesn't that stink?
And pickle onions, which I just did recently.
But doesn't pickled cabbage stink?
Yeah, you make sauerkraut.
Yeah, I know. We just had to bleep
Tamara.
Tam out.
Tamara got too emotional.
But yeah, we live a semi-rural lifestyle, so it's like half a
people used to do it in the flats because they have basements.
Well, I was going to say, do they do that in town? For example, in the middle of
they used to do it, but now I don't know. With all these new mothers and the new health style, eating junk food on the streets, they don't do it anymore. They don't even know what the Zimnitsa is. Many people, but many people still do it.
Okay, so let's.
So it's like from before, I think, generations and people from the winter.
So, it's mainly a rural thing. It's getting the produce that you've been growing throughout the spring and summer and autumn months. So for us here, and it's your dad's pet project, right? So your dad has had this year tomatoes, cucumbers, there's been strawberries.
Yes,
but they don't
peppers.
Peppers. He's got grapes up there.
Are we going to try to pickle some grapes?
Yeah.
Not to pickle them, to preserve them in jars.
Mm-hmm. squash.
Mm-hmm.
What is tikvitsa again?
Zucchini.
And then there's patlijan, which is
eggplant.
Eggplant. And what else? Then he's got spicy peppers, isn't he?
Yes, feferonki,
and garlic.
Garlic is already preserved.
Onions
preserved.
Yeah, but when the onions...
We're going to plant some more onions now.
Mm-hmm.
So to have some green onions, because onions like colder weather.
Yeah.
So we're going to do it now. We're still going to have some nice weather, but you can do onions now and green salad.
Yeah. You see, that's where your Canadian in you comes out when you say green onions, because we call them spring onions.
Spring onions. What is a spring onion, David?
It's always an onion a green in spring. Onion. Yeah, I know. And your dad did some... Did he do sweet potatoes this year or just normal potatoes?
No. Just normal potatoes.
And I think that's it for the garden, right?
That's it.
So it's a lot of work keeping it, but at this time of year, it's down to Zimnitsa. Our Zimnitsa was 2 days, or has been at the moment, 2 days of washing and cutting up into strips bell pepper, bell peppers, which you call paprika. But this year they were pretty small and measly. And
yes, because the weather was really bad. This year we had a lots of dry, very hot and dry weather, no rain. So everything this year is really bad.
And you were getting annoyed with it at one stage. It was like driving you up the wall in the kitchen. We should have done it outside, but it was
chilling. It's the most boring job on the planet that you can do, is to clean and cut the peppers in little strips. And when you have thousands of peppers to cut, like, that's 2 days of cutting. We've been cutting peppers for 2 days.
And well, okay, but... And,
plus, I have a pain in my shoulder from the fold that I fold 2 months ago, and now it's all back. I don't know. Is it because a new pillow or something? So, yeah, but it's a tedious job.
And we made two things. One, on the first batch, how many kilos was it in the first batch? 4, 5, 6?
No, first batch was 6 kilo, and the second one around 5.
Okay,
a little bit less than 5.
On that first batch, and we're going to make a video, we're going to publish a video of it in our new style, which is no music, no commentary, just like as it is. But last season, I think it was the first time, correct me if I'm wrong, you made a special mustard sauce that then you put the
This is the third
with.
Season I'm making third. This.
See?
I'm third getting... or fourth season. I'm not sure because I really like it. It's so good. You make a...
But it's not traditional here, is it? I mean, people don't... I've never seen it apart from here. You know, paprika in mustard sauce.
Well, I don't know where it comes from. I found it a recipe in a magazine that I bought in a kiosk. But I've seen people making it before.
Our vet talked about it today, didn't he? Because he saw your post on Instagram.
Yes. Yeah, not mine, yours.
Oh, right.
Because I didn't post that. I don't think I posted about it. It's very piquant. It's quite strong. Some people might not be able to eat it if they don't... Because some people get stomachache, like my mom. She can eat paprika and senf. But me and my dad, we love it, and we have a pretty good stomach.
I like it too.
And goes very well with barbecue, with meat, and things like that. And the second salad that we made was a lavochka salata, which is the same thing, but in a tomato sauce. You make it slightly different, but it's in a tomato sauce. And people usually put parsley, but I like it with oregano and garlic. Tastes the best.
So 2 days of work, a total of 10?
Maybe 2.5. Because one day we were just cutting the peppers and then we got tired.
So I think the total amount that we had this year then was 11 kilos in total?
Around 11 kilos, I would say.
But the year before...
There's still some more peppers in the garden.
Right, but the year before it was much, much more.
Oh, yes. It was much more, yeah. We ate a lot of peppers as well throughout the season. Because we like it here, like a baked paprika salad, a roasted paprika salad. So you roast your peppers in the oven and then red peppers. Usually we use red peppers. You roast them in the oven, then you peel them off from the skin and then you place them on a plate and then you season them with some parsley, garlic, olive oil and a little bit of vinegar. We love eating that.
I remember either the first or second year that we were here when your aunt came up as well. And that year there was tons and tons and tons of bell peppers, and you made Ivar. I remember that.
Yeah, we did. Ivar is good. I love Ivar.
These skills are passed down from mother to daughter normally.
Yes, and you can find lots of recipes on YouTube, and some people are posting grandma's Ivar, grandma's bread, grandma's style of pickled peppers, grandma's style of that. So you can find some old recipes on YouTube today. People are posting it. And there's lots of like cooking channels, like lots of ladies from Serbia, from this country. They're doing a lot of cooking.
I mean, what your mother does is very traditional. I mean, with a lot of things that Lily does, she's conservative with a small C, whereas you're always into, what's your favorite phrase? With my twist.
With my twist, yeah. I have to put my twist in everything. That's only because I love oregano. I would kill for oregano.
You know, you said, I'm going to do pickled onions. And I thought, this is going to be amazing because pickled onions...
I found a recipe on YouTube.
But that's
it's not pickled onions. It's a quick pickled onion.
I know, but it's not
you
pickled
make
onions
it, you
like
eat
I know.
It in 2 days. You
it's not pickled it. Onions like I know. Because no. They're whole. They're tiny and they're complete when they
yeah,
get
they're
pickled.
Like a tiny,
But you made
onion.
These strips. And you said, look, taste this. Tell you, it's like rocket fuel.
What is the rocket fuel?
It's so strong.
It's lovely. I love onions. Like, I could not live without onion, garlic, red bell peppers, and oregano. No way I could live with these, without these.
One of the things I really do appreciate being here is that there's so many things that are homemade.
I love sauerkraut as well. I could eat it plain.
Yeah, but when you do Kieslerkupfer with sour cabbage or pickled cabbage, you don't normally boil it, do you? Or do you?
No. We just put salt.
But when you heat it, when you serve it as part of a dish.
No, we eat it like a salad mainly, or we make it like a cooked cabbage.
You see, German sauerkraut is normally like boiled. Warm. Yeah, and they put like...
We like it like salad.
They put slanina in it to give it that porky,
yeah, you can
porky
cook,
taste.
You can cook it like that with the slanina or some other meat, or you can make sarma from it, from the pickled cabbage. But I love it as a salad as well. You just put a little bit... You wash it, obviously, with water to get rid of the saltiness. And then you put some red paprika on top. And it tastes amazing.
But it's a lot of work for small output. Once again, we did 11 kilos over 2 days, driving each other nuts, slicing this.
Hard work, yes.
Yeah, it was a lot of work. And I think we've only made...
But it's worth it.
How many? 20 glasses? 20 jars, rather?
Yeah, I think 10 of each. About 10 of each.
So it's a lot of work.
10 of Senf, 10 of the, yeah. That's all you get. Because paprika shrinks once you cook it, cook it.
So what your dad's done the cabbage. So the cabbage is in the big Buddha, in the big vat.
Yeah.
At the moment. He also
did some sliced cabbage.
Yeah, did shredded cabbage as well. Yeah. So we've got that. What else will we have? We haven't done cucumber, have we? We haven't pickled our own cucumber this year.
No, because we haven't had any. We had a few just to eat like this fresh, but not the good ones for pickling.
Now, tell me a little bit about this experiment you're going to try. We don't know if it's going to work, but the idea is to take the grapes. Now, do we take them off?
Oh, yes.
We
take I've seen a recipe on one channel that I follow from gardening. I think they're from Serbia. That they preserve the grapes. So you take the grapes.
On
the stalks, you wash them, you take them off the stalks.
So they're individual.
And then you wash them again, and then you put them in the jars. Then you top them up with the cold water, and you put 1 tablespoon of sugar, like a white sugar. You close the jars, and then you put them on a pot upside down. You fill up with the water, and you boil them for 15 minutes.
That's the pasteurization then?
Yes. Uh-huh. But I will do that in the oven, my style, because I hate boiling things in the boiling things. And we're going to try make 2 jars, maybe. Or 3 jars.
Would you class that as Zimnitzer as well?
Yeah, they say it stays fresh and everything. I don't know. I have to try it.
Because we did a video that we watch a lot of video channels now from Azerbaijan. And they are making some really amazing videos about traditional cooking. And one of the ones that we tried to copy, and I think it tasted nice when it was doing that beef in a jar. But what do you call it? We call it zapping. But I don't know what the real term is when you put the meat in the pan briefly to...
Well, zap it, yeah.
Yeah, we zapped it in the pan and then put it in. But the guy from Azerbaijan actually took beef. He put it with peppercorns and bay leaves.
Yes.
Without water.
He salted it as well.
He salted it, and then he put it in the jar.
Yes. And he boiled it in a pot of water.
Very slow cooked, wasn't it? Very slow cooked.
For a few hours, yeah.
And he didn't open it. Now,
We didn't open it. You had a hard time opening it.
Yes, but what I mean is that they keep it then for Zimnitz. That they have meat for their Zimnitz.
Yeah, I don't know. I would never preserve
it. I don't think that in the Southeast Europe, in the Western Balkans, nobody does that.
No,
I mean,
we make sausages, we dry the meat, but I don't remember people seeing... We freeze the meat.
That's the point. There's going to be... What did we do a few years ago? Winter pig, wasn't it? Winter pork.
Yes, winter pork.
So I think here, for Zimnitz, as far as meat is concerned, it's smoked, isn't it? Smoked meat.
Smoked, you make sausages, smoked, and then the rest you freeze it. And you make pork chops as well. Tvarak.
Yeah. Pork scratchings
you make
for people
lard.
In England. Pork scratchings.
You make lard, yeah.
Yeah.
Pork scratchings, yeah.
Are you glad that you do zimmets?
You know what?
I mean, you're a
next time you okay. should try pork scratchings with the curry. I heard that somewhere. I don't remember where.
Pork scratchings and curry?
Yeah. You put a little bit of curry powder on top and you eat it. Apparently, it tastes Indian.
Yeah, but hang on. But when you make the pork scratchings here, you do put salt over the top.
Yes, but you can also put some curry. Let's make it English.
How would that go down in the village? How would our neighbours, for example,
for us, David. We don't.
No, but what do you think the reaction would be with our neighbours here?
He would think we are crazy because I don't think people here like curry as much.
That's true.
Lots of people don't like curry in this country. I do. I love curry.
And also,
but oregano for me, it's the.
You know, you were talking about bell pepper paste, mm-hmm. Ivar.
Mm-hmm.
The tomato equivalent, which I like better than Ivar.
It's called pinja.
It's pinja. Is pinja also a zimnitsa?
Yes.
So only made at this time of year?
Yeah.
There you go.
Usually.
If anybody's listening to this podcast from the United Kingdom or from the United States or anywhere else for that matter, do you, wherever you are, make things just for winter? I cannot really, I mean, I was a city boy. I grew up in West Kensington in London. So, I mean, you can't get further away from rural living than there. And I can't ever remember that. And my Irish grandmother came from rural Ireland. And I don't think she made stuff for winter. Maybe it's only a
Balkan thing. I don't know.
Well, no, because South Caucasus is, you know, Armenia, Azerbaijan, Georgia, they do.
Yeah, but we have like lots of vegetables and things, and you don't want to let them go to waste, and you certainly cannot eat them all at once. So you got to do something with them.
That's the point. Do we do anything with the apples as far as zimnitsa is concerned?
We didn't have many at all.
But would we have done?
Yeah, we make chutney every year, don't we?
Yeah. Oh. Well, there it is. That's what we've been up to. There are a lot of videos, there's definitely two videos coming out about what we did with the bell peppers, which really causes confusion because when I say paprika,
people usually think of the spice.
Think of the spicy, which is pfefferonki here, right?
Yeah.
And I have to say it's bell peppers. And they say, why don't they call them
bell peppers? No, we have also spiced paprika that you put in goulash and things like that. It's mm-hmm. like a dried and grind paprika. It does not have to necessarily be spicy, but it's...
But you put spices with things.
Yeah, I do. I like
it. And what's that spice that we like so much from Turkey?
Sumac.
Sumac.
It's good on salad. It's like a lemon.
Would you use Turkish sumac for zimnitsa at all?
No. No.
Not the sort of thing that you would use?
No.
Okay. So just before we finish, we went to the vets this morning. Thank you very much to Boyan. What's Boyan's colleague's name?
Stefan.
Stefan and Boyan.
Stefan.
Stefan. Stefan.
Stefan Kukilo and Bojan Ubović.
There you go.
They have a One Health.
One Health vet?
One Health vet. They work at the One Health vet, and I think the owner is Stefan.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure. We took
Mimsha.
Mimsha.
And she's just come back, so we're trying to rush around and get normal things done because...
She needs to be 2 more days kept.
She got the snip because we refused to let the animals here... I don't know, go natural, really, because there's a huge problem in the country with feral cats and feral dogs and everything like that.
Yes. So, how's Mimsha?
That's it. Okay, right. So, that's it. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you...
Soon, very soon.
On the next one.
On the next one. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel.
And
watch all the videos
and our blog and our newsletter, and all the links are below.
Yes.
Say ciao for now in Srpski.
Ciao for now in Srpski. Vidimo se sutra. Doviđenja I prijatno. Narode, uživaj.
And that's a wrap for this podcast. We hope you've enjoyed finding out a little more about both Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. If you've enjoyed this journey as much as we enjoy bringing it to you, please take a moment to leave us a review and subscribe to our podcast. Your feedback helps us tremendously and makes a huge difference. Thank you once again for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans. So that's it for this one. Thanks for keeping me company. If you enjoyed the episode, maybe share it with a friend who might like it too. And if you've got thoughts, questions, or just want to say hello, you can always reach out. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast and help me keep telling these stories, you can drop a little tip via Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the show notes. Even a euro or two makes a big difference. So that's it then. Take care, and I'll catch you in the next episode.